go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for bringing us together tonight. You're in the middle of the week. We thank you, Father, for this place that the doors are open and we're able to come in. Thank you for the love that is expressed from believer to believer in this local assembly and in a unique way on Wednesday nights as we're able to come together and share prayer requests and then share our burdens with you. We look forward to doing that later this evening. And Lord, now as we look into your word, we ask you to speak to our hearts. You know our needs. You know where we are. Father, we ask you to be gracious as you always are to us tonight in opening our hearts and piercing them and bringing your word to bear just where we need to be spoken to. And so we ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I ask you to turn to Psalm 145 tonight. As you're turning, I didn't get these given out, so I'm going to hand some of the fellas a little paper here with some verses on it, if they don't mind. If they don't mind looking these up, that'll be great. That's nice of. I'll thank the sound guys from here for this microphone because I can walk around and keep talking, preaching as I go. And that'll. Anybody want one? No, raise your hand. Put your hand down. Start crying. You know, whatever. Laughing. Here we go. There you go. I'll throw one in there. So I've got probably more than I need here, but we're going to give them out anyway. We've been thinking about on some Wednesday nights recently. We've been looking at some of the attributes of God and thinking about the importance of knowing Him. And the more that we know our Lord, it's going to impact our lives. I think I got you two there, Arden. Excuse me. You can pull one of them on. You can't see. He can't see one, and there's two. All right. Thank you, sir. as we think about the Lord and the more that we understand of His character, the better we can walk with Him, because we're going to respond. I'm going to get these young fellas over here, Dick. They need to get some practice reading. So there you go. Tim, you're young, but I just ran out right before I got to you. So I didn't want you to think you weren't young. All right, Psalm 145. Let's just read the first couple of verses together, as we have several times already. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. How great is our God? We can say that as a question, or we can say that as an exclamatory statement. We say it as an exclamatory statement, how great is our God? But there also is that question there, how great is He? We want to know that. You know, I appreciate what's written in Hosea chapter 6, the first part of verse 3. Hosea says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. And that was pretty much Paul's thought in Philippians, as he said, that I may know Him. I want to know Him, the one whom to know is life eternal. In one of these studies, we just read the words of a song by Chris Tomlin, How Great is Our God. And he, back in 2004, recorded another song. It was written by Laura Story. And the title is Indescribable. And the chorus, these are the words of the chorus, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing God, all-powerful, untamable, awestruck. We fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing God. How great is our God. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. And we do that in, among other ways, by considering His attributes, His characteristics. And we began to think last time that I spoke on a Wednesday night about the truth that God is in. And that prefix in, we found out, means not. We speak of our nation being indivisible. It's not to be divided. We talk of an individual being insecure. They're not secure. And one way to understand God is by demonstrating how different He is from us. And so we can think of a characteristic of humanity, and we can put a prefix like in front of it, I-N, and we can find out what God is not, how He's different. You know, I think about trying to describe ice to someone who has never been out of the Amazon rainforest. Now, can you imagine trying to describe ice? How would you do that? Well, one way you could do it is by describing what it's not like. And in some ways, we can do that with God. We've already seen that God is incomprehensible. Not that He cannot be known, but He cannot be fully known. He's beyond our complete knowledge. And then we also saw that He is independent. He's not dependent on anyone or anything, but rather He is self-existent and He is self-sufficient. He's not fully comprehensible and He is not dependent on anyone or anything. Thirdly, we'd like to consider together the thought that God is infinite. God is infinite. Finite really can come from the word, or is associated the word with the word definite. You can see the word finite, indefinite. Something that has definite or defined bounds or limits is finite. It's restricted. And we know that as human beings, we are bound and we're limited by many things. Two of those are time and space. We're limited by time. We exist only in the present moment. Now, there have been many science fiction writers and even some serious scientists who have been intrigued by time travel. Back in 1895, H.G. Wells published a book, a novel entitled The Time Machine, and he coined that term, the time machine, and it's been used since then to refer to a vehicle that would allow time travel either backwards into the past or forward into the future. We even showed a movie here one night, Time Changers, I believe it was, where the fella was in a time travel machine and he came forward and saw the amazing change in morality in the culture, even among believers. That was, again, that was a fictional movie. We are bound by time. We can keep looking for time travel. We can look for a time machine. That's great in the imagination. But, you know, even if time travel were possible, guess what? We would still be restricted to time. We couldn't travel outside of time, even if we were able somehow to travel within time. As long as we live, we cannot escape the restriction of years and months, and weeks, and days, and seconds, and nanoseconds. We can't escape that. We are bound. We're also limited by space. Each of us tonight are taking up a specific space. Some are taking up a little more space than others. But we're all taking up a specific amount of space. And we're restricted to that space. Now, we can move from place to place. We can I can move from this spot and move over here, and I've changed my place, but I've continued to be restricted to one particular area of space at a time. And of course, there are some places we cannot go. Why? Because we are finite. We have definite bounds and limits, but God is infinite. God is not finite. God is not bound or restricted by time or space. Nothing binds Him. Nothing limits Him. He is boundless. He is limitless. He is unrestricted. Zophar said this, one of Job's supposed comforters, you know, they said a lot of things that weren't right, but they said a lot of things that were true as well. And he asked a question, a good question for us. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? That's Job 11:7. Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? No, because there is no limit. He is unlimited. He is infinite. And tonight I want us to think about two aspects of His infinitude. One relates to time, how He is not bound by time. The other relates to space, how He is not bound by space. And as we talk about the different attributes of God, we find that many of them cross over and merge and are somewhat tied together. And actually here, under this idea that God is infinite, we're really going to pick up two, we could call them sub-attributes, but they're really attributes of God, but they fit in under this, and I think you'll understand as we move along. So firstly, in relationship to time, God is eternal. His infinitude is seen in relation to time in that He is eternal. He is not bound or limited by time. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He is above all time. He is not restricted by years or months or weeks. He is not limited by days or hours or minutes. Seconds and nanoseconds cannot limit Him. He is beyond that. He is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Isaiah 57:15. Now, a number of these brothers have verses, and I'll just call out the reference. And if you have that verse, if you could just read it loudly so that everyone could hear. And all of these verses are going to bring to our minds the reality that God is infinite in relation to time because He is eternal. So just allow these verses to come in through your ears, through your mind, down into your heart, that we might be awestruck by God and His relation to time, knowing that He is beyond time, He is infinite, He is eternal, He is not bound by time. Genesis 21:33. The everlasting God. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God, the everlasting arm. Psalm 90:2. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. Daniel 4:34. Him who lives forever, an everlasting dominion. Micah 5:2. From ancient days. Romans 16:26. The eternal God. Isaiah 9:6. The everlasting Father. Isaiah 40:28. the everlasting God, the Lord. Hebrews 9:14. The eternal spirit. Jeremiah 10:10.
But the Lord is the true God, He is the living God, the everlasting King, and His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His invitation.
The everlasting King. Habakkuk 1:12. From everlasting. And 1 Timothy 1:17. Amen. The King, eternal. Listen to these words from Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11, about a future day we're going to be in heaven, seeing and hearing this. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. He is the one who was and is to come, who lives forever and ever. And you may have noticed as the brothers read through those verses, we heard some of them read about God the Father. We heard others read about God the Son. And another read of God the Holy Spirit. And we find that what is true of one is true of all. This is the attribute of God. He is eternal. He is infinite in relationship to time. He is above time. He has no beginning because He is the beginning. Revelation 22:13, the Lord Jesus Himself says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is from eternity. Before there was time, He was there. After time ends, He will be there. No beginning and no ending. God created time. Time is not infinite. Time had a beginning. God has no beginning. He transcends time. He is above time. Well, that's wonderful. That can strike us with awe, but how does it practically impact us? You know, I think about some of the young people here, and they may say, you know, I wish I could do such and such, but I'm too young. You know what? You got a God who transcends time. He's above. He's eternal. He's not bound by time. And the things that you wish you could do, if I was older, I would do this. God is above that. He's eternal. He's not restricted. Some of us may be saying, I'm getting too old. You know, some of us had a little basketball time and Bible study with some of the guys from Smith Homes yesterday, and Rob took some of the guys to play some games, and Bruce and Chris and I were going to take the other ones to play some basketball, and there were 9 guys wanting to play. You know how many it takes? You can't play 5-on-4, so you got to play 5-on-5. So I raised my hand. I'll be the 10th man. I tell you what, I have been hurting all day. I'm getting too old, you see. And as we get older and we grow older and we sometimes say, oh, I wish I could still do that, or wow, I wish I had done that. You know, it's an encouragement to know that we have a God who is eternal. He is infinite. He is not restricted by time the way we are. And He can do those things that we're not able to do. Some of us say, you know, I need more time to get everything done. You know, our God is not bound by time. And some of us are saying, you know, my time is almost up here. I'm not going to be around to do some of these things I planned, but, you know, we can rejoice because we have a God who is infinite. He is not limited by time, for He is eternal and He dwells in eternity, and we cannot explain how He had no beginning or ending. But we can believe God's Word. In relationship to time, He is eternal. He is infinite. He is not limited by time. But the second aspect of His infinitude is in relationship to space. In relationship to time, He is eternal. In relationship to space, He is immense. I-M-M-E-N-S-E. He is immense. His infinitude is seen in that He is immense. And the definition of immense is immeasurable or boundless. He is not bound or limited by space. He cannot be measured because He is beyond measure. We sometimes use that word immense in our, you know, it's like, man, that was an immense meal or that's an immense job. We mean it's huge. But in the literal definition of the word, we can't use it to describe those things. Because we can measure that job, and we can measure that meal, but we can't measure God, and He cannot be contained. That was in the chorus to that song that I quoted you the words from. Uncontainable. He cannot be contained. He fills all the universe, and yet is beyond the universe. Get that in your mind for a second. He fills all the universe, and yet He is beyond all the universe. But conversely, He transcends all spatial limitations, and yet He is present at every point of space with His whole being. I can't even hardly read that, much less take it all in. He transcends all spatial limitations, and yet He is present at every point of space with His whole being. Someone has said, God is a circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. See that circle? His center is everywhere and His circumference is nowhere. That's our God. That's our God who is infinite, who is beyond our full understanding. He is everywhere, yet not contained anywhere. That's our God. We have some brothers read some other verses. Second Chronicles, 2 verse 6. Heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. Jeremiah 23:24.
Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord?
Fills the heavens and the earth. Psalm 139:7. Where can we go that God won't be there? Ephesians 1:23. Him who fills everything in every way. And Ephesians 4:10. He might fill all things. How does this truth impact my life? You know, sometimes we feel like, wow, if I could only be in two places at once, you know, I might need to be in more than two places at once, but we can't. We're restricted, but we have a God who is not limited by space. He can be everywhere at the same time, and we'll see more of that when we consider His omnipresence. Sometimes we say, you know, I have a real burden for so-and-so over in Japan that we read about tonight, but I can't be there. You know, our God is there. He is not limited by space. I'm not able to physically go into certain restricted areas. I can't go into North Korea, and you can't go into North Korea, but God is not limited. He is not restricted by governments in space. I'm contained by this physical body. I'm limited in what I can do, but our God is able to do beyond what we can ask or even imagine. He is not restricted. We're restricted by oceans. We're restricted by the atmosphere, but our God is not. He cannot be contained. He feels all. We were having our little Bible study with the guys from Smith Homes. We divided into two groups, and we were talking about sin. And we're talking about God knows, He sees what we're doing. And one of the fellas in middle school, he said this. He said, you know, God's probably looking at somebody over in Africa. He's not seeing what I'm doing. He didn't have that concept. God is infinite. God is immense. God in His omniscience, we'll study that too. He sees everything and He knows everything. And we understand that. We take it for granted maybe. Or we don't understand it. We accept it, but we take it for granted that sure, everybody knows that. God is not limited by these things. In relationship to space, God is immense. He is infinite. He is not bound by space. He is limitless. He is unbounded. He is unrestricted. That is our God who is infinite. He is incomprehensible. He can't be fully known. He is independent. He is not reliant upon any. And He is infinite. He is without limits. Charles Wesley wrote, "Sovereign Father, Heavenly King, Thee we now presume to sing. Glad Thine attributes confess, glorious all and numberless." May we rejoice in our great God who is infinite. We'll go to our prayer groups.